Christian Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that His mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, what we have here, that was me spitting chalk. What we have here is a failure not to communicate, but to submit. This is Wretched Radio. One of the most shocking sentences I've ever read in a book was written by Dr. Ted Tripp, Shepherding a Child's Heart. He said the number one job of parents, the matter of urgency that you need to get on immediately, is helping your child to submit. Why did he write that? I don't know, 20, 30 years ago? Because it's biblical. Second of all, it does appear, no, it's a trend in our culture that submission is one of the worst concepts that colonialists ever concocted. Why? Because it doesn't mean I get to be my authentic self. I gotta be me. That means if you tell me to do something, you tell me to not do another thing, I can't live autonomously. And that is my number one value. And if you try to step on it by telling me what to do, then you can step off, because I'm me. Submission increasingly is an issue in our culture. And I have not one, but two proofs of that claim. Number one, I would like for you to imagine, especially if you're young, I hope you will hear this, and I hope you will be persuaded, not through reason and logic, but through scripture, that submission, that by coming under other people, is a biblical concept from beginning to end. Everything about life, as a believer especially, is about submission. And the reason that it's crucial is, first of all, God commands it. Second of all, because the place won't work if everybody is in charge. If nobody submits, if nobody just does what they're told, then there's chaos and there's anarchy. Why is it a spiritual, metaphysical law that a failure to submit leads to catastrophe? Because of the Trinitarian Godhead. That is how God orders himself, if you will, if I can phrase it that way. Father, he, Son, Holy Spirit, the Son, he submits to the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. In other words, the Trinitarian Godhead has an economic subordination. It's the way that the Godhead works. We're made in His image, and if we don't work like Him, catastrophe. That is why submission is such a big deal. And I would say this to you, if you are on the younger end of the spectrum, and I'm thinking 30, maybe 35 or younger, you maybe didn't realize that messages have been sent to you, but they have been loud and clear. Don't submit. Do not put yourself underneath others' authority. Furthermore, so many of those messages tell you why, because they're either oppressive or they're idiots. Therefore, don't do it. And the two people who are perhaps the most oppressive and the biggest dodo birds, according to the world, are your mom and your dad. Don't submit to them. Now you say, I've never heard that message quite like that. Yes, you have. You've seen it. You've seen it in Disney movies. You hear it in music. There was a song. I just heard another song. Okay, I'm not sure. Jimmy, would you be so kind? Let's see if I got this right. Bruce Hornsby, okay. That's Just the Way It Is. Would you Google the lyrics for that?
Yep.
Oh, I was sitting someplace, and I could hear it in the background. And I thought, oh, that's another cast-off authority ballad. You remember Mama Cass? This was the song that got used in the Barbie movie. That you don't, I was going to say, don't sleep in the subway. No, that's Petula Clark. Make your own kind of music. Sing your own special song. You're amazing. Nobody knows better for you than you. That has been the message that has been ringing in your ears. And I would like to encourage you to put some stoppers in your ears and to joyfully accept submission, knowing the Son submits to the Father. It doesn't diminish his role. It doesn't change his character, his nature. It does not alter how much we esteem and love him. It's the way things are. It's a spiritual, metaphysical law. And if you don't change your tune on submission, you're going to be kicking against the goads real hard, at least for a while. You're going to become very disgruntled. You're going to be very agitated, starting with your parents. And then it will be your professors. It will be your boss. It will be political leaders. How dare they tell me what to do? Jimmy, you got the Bruce Hornsby lyrics?
I do.
Let's hear it.
Standing in line.
No.
What? No,
just
I'm not.
Sing it.
No, I can't do
all
that.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Make everybody feel jealous.
I don't want to do that to Bruce Hornsby. Standing in line, making time, waiting for the welfare dime because they can't buy a job. The man in the silk suit hurries by and he catches the poor old lady's eyes. Just for fun, he says, get a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Some things will never change.
That's just the way it is, but you don't believe them. He said, hey, little boy.
Wait. But don't you believe them?
But yeah.
That was the line that caught me. If I'm hearing that right, that's just the way it is. Some things will never, don't you believe, change things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't accept the status quo. Don't submit to those who have written the rules to date. It's your turn now. You got to do it your way. Any other lyrics in there that would indicate that? Maybe I'm making too much of the deal, but.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Mm.
Here's the scenario. If you're a young person, you are going to apply for a job. You made it past the resume part of the examination, and you are going in for an interview. The individual, perhaps the, I don't want to use the wrong word, the person who sits at a desk by the door, because I don't want to be pejorative with those old-fashioned labels like secretary, offers you a cup of coffee. You're thinking, you know what? I think that I'd enjoy that. You then get called into the office. You spend time in the interview. The individual says, it's been such a pleasure to meet you. We'll be in touch. Shakes your hand. What do you do next? What are you thinking right now? Are you going to, what's your next move? Think about it, and then consider this little internet skirmish that's going on. There's an individual named Trent Innes. He's from Melbourne, Australia. Apparently some software guru guy. He was on a podcast called The Secret Job Interviewing Hack to Recruit the Right Staff. And he said that he escorts job interview candidates to an office kitchen and offers them a cup of coffee or another beverage before he moves on to questions. Candidates who don't offer to take their empty cups back to the kitchen at the end of their interview are unlikely to get a job from that man.
Wow.
Whoa. Now, it's being debated. Jimmy, just so you know, that's not something we do with all of the people who are applying to all of our career opportunities here at wretched.org/careers. But people are saying it's either good or bad. And I thought it was worth noting that it appears that the younger generation hates it. They think it's ridiculous. And there were so many comments, but I feel like it's weird to wash your own cup at an interview when you're a guest there. I guess you could say you're a guest. You're trying to sell yourself. You're out doing business. You're trying to make an impression. And this type of mindset indicates, hey, they should be thrilled to have me. Now, should they? yes. But your attitude going in should be, I'd be thrilled to get a gig so that I can work like a Christian is supposed to, so that I can eat, because I'm an image bearer of God. I'm going to be the best laborer that they have. This type of attitude reveals that there's a role reversal confusion going on. If we're still in the kitchen, yes. But if we're in a conference room and I leave, I'm not walking around the office again. I don't work there yet. Isn't online. This is, in my estimation, an example of the confusion about roles and authority. Younger educated women are less likely to change their names upon marriage, especially if they are educated. Why? Because they want independence. They want to be in charge of everything, especially themselves. The Bible says there are roles inside of marriage and submits to the husband. May I ask you a question, young person? Are you going to listen to what the world says about submission or the Bible? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate it when you tune in and you listen to Wretched Radio and you check out our other resources that are available at wretched.org. Thank you for listening. We couldn't do this without you, because who would listen? Who would watch? We need people to watch and listen in order to continue doing this. So thank you for supporting us in that way. Now, if you would like to take our relationship to a higher level, we also need your support financially, because just like if we don't have listeners and viewers to listen to and view the content, we can't produce it. Well, if we don't have the financial resources, we also can't produce the content we produce. And so we need your help in that regard as well. So if you've ever considered becoming an ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partner, we would certainly appreciate that. We have answers for any questions you could possibly have available at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Freeborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Freeborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family. And they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Freeborn.org/wretched. Freeborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history.
1948, the World Council of Churches is formed as an interdenominational body promoting Christian unity and presence in society. Modern ecumenism saw differing denominations work together in spiritual and social causes, but also resulted in the watering down of Christian doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
2, 3, 4. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you remember the last segment that we concluded? We were talking about a little test that a software guru applies to people who apply for jobs in Melbourne, Australia, offers them a cup of coffee in the kitchen. So they go to the kitchen so that they know where the place is. They bring the cup of coffee into the office. If when the interview is done, the person does not return the cup and or wash it or put it on the counter, they don't get the gig.
Right, right.
And after the segment concluded, 2, 3, 4, you said what?
That's a toss-up. That's a hard one for me to wrap my head around. I get the sentiment, but I'm not sure that's – I don't know.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Hicks.
Okay.
Would you ever drive a Ford automobile?
Would I ever? Mm-hmm. Yes, I used to.
Wow. Do you know that Henry Ford, it was rumored, would take a candidate to lunch, and if they salted their food before tasting it, he wouldn't hire them?
Why?
Because.
Is that not a personal preference?
But they haven't tasted it to know whether it needs salt. So I think it was like a thinking issue.
Mm.
If you just mindlessly add an ingredient, you don't know if that dish needs it or not.
Okay, yeah.
So you're going to do that in the workplace, too. You're not going to think about it. You're not going to test. You're not going to be aware. You're just going to do. So you're a bad decision maker, I think, was Henry Ford's conclusion.
Okay.
Huh. That's a bummer because, you know what? Do you want to know what I think salt needs? More salt. goes on ice cream. By the way, do you know what really goes well on ice cream? This is gonna unless you're from Italy, this will kind of go, whoa, what are you talking about, Willis? Balsamic vinegar.
What?
Oh, man. There are balsamic vinegar competitions in Italy. It is a big deal. And one of the ways that they taste it is on ice cream, because a good balsamic, man, Scylla. But even that needs salt. The point is, there are certain tests that employers apply to try to determine the thinking process. And the one that's gotten all kinds of revitalized attention, because this interview where this former CEO, I believe he was a CEO, used this hack for hiring, was recorded in 2019. It resurfaced because kind of touches a button. Here's what one person said in response. I have to ask, do I want to work for someone who is manipulative and poorly communicates their expectations? That to me reveals an attitude that is confused about who has the authority, who's running the place, and whether or not that individual will joyfully submit. This, to me, is an attitude revealer, whether or not it's a good test. If you hire people, well, that is totally up to you, whether you choose to use the coffee cup test or not. What struck me were the responses of this. I don't want to work for someone who's manipulative. Not manipulative. They're testing you and poorly communicates their expectations intentionally because they have an organization to protect. If this is what they're like during an interview, what are they like as a boss? Well, my question, I think, would be the exact opposite. And that's what this fellow is after. If you're not willing to clean up after yourself, what will you be like as an employee? What will you be like as a guest at somebody's house? And so the job interview coffee cup test, you can debate whether or not you want to apply that. But my question is for you, especially if you are younger. Do some digging. Check your heart. Now, here's the reality. All of us have an inclination to not submit. That's just our bent. That's our flesh. If you are in Christ, that's your old carcass saying, no, me, my, because we're all me monsters. We're all Captain U planets, aren't we? And we think that we know best in every single situation. Ergo, I don't submit to anybody. To that I would say, as Christianly as I can, good luck. Good luck. Because whether or not society accepts the idea that there are roles of authority and that there's submission, doesn't matter. A culture that has structures will succeed. A culture that doesn't, it will. No, it can't. Because this is the way that God has ordered the planet. The same thing is true with this particular study on women who don't want to take their husband's name. Maybe you've never considered, why is that a cultural norm up to date, to this date? Well, it's because we were informed mostly by the Bible, and we actually believed Ephesians chapter 5, that the woman acts as a helper, which, by the way, God calls himself. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, I think it's in John 15, 16, he calls him the helper. We're talking about here as a helper. And you don't hear the Holy Spirit going, oh, I'm not going to help. I'm running the place. Well, he is running the place, but he helps. Why? Because it is the way that the Trinitarian Godhead functions. And that is the way that we must function. And so if your heart is very resistant to the idea of submission, I would encourage you to figure out why. It might help by asking, has the world gotten in? Have I been buying Bruce Hornsby and make your own kind of music, philosophical worldviews? Am I an individual who joyfully submits whatever the context is? In church, if everybody thinks that they should be running the place, we're just going to make the pastor's life even more difficult than it already is. I was just reading an article, by the way. We've been seeing these studies. I think the Christian Post did an article titled The Great Resignation, that the number of, like, half of pastors are thinking about just cashing in their chips and getting out because of the pressure that they're feeling post-COVID. It's even more, because it's always been, but it's even more because of these cultural issues. He's got a tough gig. And if we're all vying to be hurt, you've got to do it our way. You need to preach this series. Why aren't you running that ministry my way? Church won't function. Won't work. Can't work. Neither marriage. Neither will your career. Now, it could be that we're going to have to see this kind of play itself out, because we will discover eventually, some of these things tend to correct themselves, that everybody running the place can't work. It won't work. And if you're younger and you can grasp this and not see it as an assault on your dignity, but the joyful role we all play, everybody submits. I'm telling you, everybody has to submit to somebody. You say, not John MacArthur. Oh yeah, John MacArthur has to, he's got boards. He's got elders. He's got a church. Whether he's got car payments or a mortgage, we all have to submit. And ultimately, we all have to submit to God himself. And it is a very visible indicator if we fail to submit in our roles, whether it is in marriage, whether it's children with parents, there's another one. Whether it's work, whether it's in culture, well, then you're going to get the Romans 13 sword, because there must be order. And if you refuse to play your role of submission in whatever realm that you're in, it is an indicator, an almost sure indicator of your lack of submission to God. That should terrify us, all of us. That's a scary thought. You have a test. This isn't like a pregnancy test, seeing two lines. No, this is a surefire test. If you can't submit to people you see, it's almost certain you're not submitting to the God. Let's use this, all of us, been pointing a finger at younger generations because it seems to be an even greater issue. Please note I said an even greater issue. It's not a unique issue. This has always been the bent. This has always been that. Consider Absalom. his dad was a moron in his estimation. He didn't want to submit. He didn't want to play his role. So what did he try to do? Kick dad off of the throne. So this ain't nothing new, as Solomon rightly said. But I think it's even more extreme today because cultural norms are not normal anymore. They're being erased. They are being rewritten. And wow, are they coming up with some crackpot ideas? Don't listen. Don't go for it. You will advance. I'm telling you, not only do I believe it's biblical, not only do I believe that it is going to bring you joy in the environment that you're in, but you're going to advance. You're going to do better. You'll be a more valuable church member. You'll be a more valuable family member. You'll be a more valuable employee. Please search your heart. And if submission gives you the real heebie-jeebies, ask yourself, does that mean I'm not submitting to the Lord? That should get all of our attention. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes? Yes, Jimmy is.
What?
Yes, this is Wretched Radio. Once again, 2, 3, 4. During the break, you said, what about submission? You think it's connected to?
So I think it can be connected to a lack of understanding for the Christian and spiritual gifts.
Meaning?
Back to 1 Corinthians 12, I believe that we're all gifted in different areas of ministry to edify the body.
Yes.
And if you think you don't have to submit to others, are you gifted in all areas?
Well, the question then would be, which came first?
Right.
Which, you know, I don't need anybody. See, pride is absolutely foundational to a lack of submission. You know better. You're a know-it-all. And so you refuse to because, well, that would be dumb in your estimation. So, Jimmy, I think that's just another manifestation of how a lack of submission plays itself out, that you don't think that you need others inside of the body. This is the issue of submission. It is a big deal, and I have a theory. Jimmy, you tell me what you think of this, because I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on Christian radio. But have you ever been to a restaurant and you see a family, they've got some little kids, and the parents are oblivious? And the kids, they're tossing food, they're running around. Or let's just say, for instance, you're at a Marshall's store in Atlanta, and you find a chair. Can I help you with your business? Provide chairs for the men. You'll sell more stuff. Go into these stores and it's like, oh, I got to push some clothes over so I can sit on the display shelf because there's no place for me to just chill out while my wife shops. We're at Marshall's. And the chair was up. It was actually up on a platform. It was on the display. And I didn't care. So I sat on the chair and there was a dad. You know, at least the dad was aware the kids were screaming, but did he do anything about it? And at first it was cute because, you know, the kids are just being kids and we get that. But it just goes on forever and it's like, yo, pop, oh. And what else do you observe about those kids that are out of control? They're miserable. So let's just say you're at Costco on Saturday. I made it out alive. That's a victory when you go to Costco. I went to pick up a prescription. Don't worry, I'm fine. Went to pick up a prescription, and the woman said, it's going to be about 15 minutes. Here's what I heard from the pharmacist at Costco who told me it's going to be 15 minutes. Oh, you want me to go spend hundreds of dollars out there? Gotcha. Because that's Costco. You go wandering around, you're just in for it. You are like a fish in a barrel at Costco. And there I was at the Costco, trying to wander around and not spend any money. And there was a boy who wanted something. And his mother said, no. And no tears, but lots of crying followed. And the kid jumped in front of the cart so that mom couldn't move forward. And then when she somehow finagled him because, you know, she didn't want to bruise Dumpling's ego, the kid finally went, and then he's walking next to the cart and he shoves mom's cart. Shoves the cart and stomps off all red-faced without any tears. It was a miserable kid. Miserable. Let's bring it down a couple of notches. A dog that isn't under submission is a miserable dog. Do you know why? Because they're not meant to run a home. And neither are children. And neither, sorry for conflating the two, but neither a dog or a child has the ability to do adult things and run the place. And that means when that child or dog isn't under submission, they are miserable. Might it be the reason that we are seeing so many unhappy people today, just speculating, is a failure to submit and to accept one's role? And to part of it might just be swallowing the pill. But I was told that I can do all things through a Bible verse misapplied. Or, I was told that I was amazing. I always got a ribbon. And maybe you refuse to accept that. The reality is most of us are leaving this planet with zero remembrance. Have you walked an old graveyard? I mean an old one. That we love doing that. You might say it's macabre. We just love walking graveyards because we love reading the stones. And you notice life expectancy was so much shorter at the beginning of the 20th century, the end of the 19th century. But oftentimes they're so old, you can't even read the name. They're gone. They're just gone. Nobody tends it. Great, 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 great grandchildren. They don't know. And if they did, they probably wouldn't even care. That's you. That's me. The Bible says, vapor. We're just dust. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And you say, well, that's a depressing message. I say you'll be happier if you accept it. You'll be happier because that's your role. That's what you're here for. But we also can't forget the conclusion of Ecclesiastes. Obey the Lord and it will be remembered for eternity. That's what brings life significance and meaning. Not that I'm riding on a high horse, not that I'm receiving the accolades of the world, not that I'm in charge of everyone, but that I'm submitting to God, doing what he has told me to do, and that gets ushered into eternity with me. That gives me joy that is far more profound and far more stable than thinking I need to run everything because I know best. I think that could possibly be a reason so many people in our culture are depressed. What do you think of that little assessment, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Now, I do have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want graveyards at night?
I could.
What?
What do you think's good? Do you walk downtown at night? Well, that's probably a worse idea, actually.
Probably.
Every major city these days. All right, would you walk your neighborhood at night? Of course you would.
I'm scared of the dark.
Okay, then.
I'm scared of what I can't see.
So walking a graveyard would kind of give you the shakes.
Well, maybe not because I think there's ghosts or anything like that.
But?
Just because you don't know if there's, like, animals and stuff that come out at night out there.
Are you not a Christian who packs heat?
No, I am.
Not in Albuquerque. So much for the Constitution there. Article from Time Magazine. Therapy isn't fixing America's mental health crisis. Isn't that an interesting admission? Now, it is an editorial, but nevertheless, it was printed at time.com that people are not getting better, despite the fact that we have so much psychotherapy these days. 1 in 8 U.S. adults now takes an antidepressant. 1 in 5 has recently received some kind of mental health care. 15 million people since 2022 have been added to psychiatry roles. For the last 3 years, 2019 to 2022, use of mental health services jumped by 40%. 40%. And all we do in the schools is we talk about our therapeutic selves and making sure that we feel amazing about me. And yet, it's not getting better. All of the antidepressants that are being prescribed aren't helping people. Suicide rates up 30% since 2000. A third of U.S. adults now report symptoms of either depression or anxiety, 3 times as many as 2019. Might I suggest this is yet another manifestation, another symptom of a world that has walked away from God's precepts, all of them. The joy that is found in just doing what you've been told to do. Not by a tyrannical boss, but by a loving, all-wise, beneficent Heavenly Father. Do this and live. Have an abundant life. It will be better. And if you're younger, I beg you, commit to it. What? Just go with the system, would you? It's worked for billions of people. You're cobbling. You're applying something to navigate life. Why not follow the prescription that God Himself has given, including submission? Psychiatry doesn't have such cut and dry metrics, though not for lack of trying. Numerous NIMH research projects aim to find genetic or biological underpinnings of mental illness without much payoff. We don't have biomarkers. We don't have a lot of things that you would have in other parts of medicine. In other words, an admission, they're guessing. And we are seeing, because people are not applying God's precepts willingly, joyfully, because they've been given by a benevolent God who knows what is best for us, they're downright miserable. So I would simply ask you, I can't say that this hits the target of your life, but if you're currently struggling emotionally, could it be? You do the examination on you. I'll do the examination on me. Is it because of a failure to submit, perhaps primarily to God and His will? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate you. We appreciate your time. And we appreciate all of you who have given it to this ministry over the years. Without your support, we couldn't do the things that we're able to do here. So we are tickled pink that you're a part of it. Now, I do want to speak to those of you that have given to us before, but maybe something came up in your life where you had to stop giving for a period of time. Nobody understands that better than we do. But I would ask that if you are able to maybe possibly join us again as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would definitely welcome you back with open arms. We've got some exciting things on the horizon we can't wait to tell you about, and we would not be able to do those things that we've got coming up without your support. So if you're in a place in your life where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love for you to prayerfully consider doing that. All the answers to any questions you might possibly have about what this would look like is available at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others. It's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hopefully you like equestrian sports because we're going to ride this horse to the finish line. This is Wretched Radio. The issue of submission is one every individual should consider about themselves, examining their own hearts. But maybe, just maybe, Mom and Dad, you are inadvertently contributing to your child's lack of desire to submit. We've got to ask the question. Why is it that it seems the younger generation today, it's always existed, but especially today, is so resistant to submission? Everybody can buck against it. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to do the job. I don't want to, that's just below me. We've all got that. But we used to live in a time where culture insisted, do it anyway. You don't like it? Too bad. Did you not want to eat food? Get to work. Stop acting like that. There will be societal pressure to get you to conform to a better way. Today, it seems less so, and we can point, perhaps, at Gen Zs and go, well, those kids, you know. There's nothing different in their DNA than was in ours. What's changed between this generation and that generation? It's not DNA. It's external factors. And I believe one of them, and it's a major force, is social media. There's just little question about that. Nevertheless, I can't help but wonder, Mom and Dad, if we are contributing to a mindset that's resistant to submission. A dear friend of mine, I'll tell you, God was kind when He dropped this man into my lap. A friendship that has existed for over 20 years now, and I learned more from watching this man, perhaps, than I did in hearing him preach. He was my pastor for an all-too-short season. But I learned from his preaching, but watching the guy, that was the book that I enjoyed reading, because he had a comportment about himself that said dignified, not snooty-tooty, not like, I'm now got to put on my tux and tails to go have dinner. I'm not talking about that. He was a man who knew who he was in Christ, who knew that his eternity was fixed, that feared the Lord more than man. And that's a study. And he sent me something that perhaps, Mom and Dad, might help you and me. Might help you and me. Yeah. Sorry, I was just... You see, some people have pronoun issues. I've got a different type of pronoun issue. If it's not the right case, it can drive me bonkers. This would be perhaps a mirror to hold up so that you and I can, grateful to you and me, maybe just maybe do some things that go against our natural inclinations. Just as certain as it is that all of us struggle to varying degrees with submission, no matter what era you lived in, I think that there's a desire of parents to make things better for their children. That is a good desire. It is a good desire, but maybe, just maybe, if this list sent from my dear friend Highland is illuminating, maybe, just maybe, we have been making life too good for them. And I don't mean that they go hungry. I don't mean that you beat them with a rock. But just maybe you and I are more guilty of helicopter parenting or lawnmower parenting than we thought. So this is from my buddy. It was in a newspaper clipping when he was about 12 years old. I have a feel. I could be wrong about Highland. I see him at 12 years old cutting this thing out and going, yeah, this is something I'm going to hold on to. How to raise a crook. Would you like to raise a crook? Last thing that I would like to raise. Well, maybe you're doing some things that are contributing to that. Give him everything he wants. That way, he'll grow up to believe the world owes him a living. Now, this, please note, speaking of pronouns, this was back when we tended to use the masculine pronoun to represent both genders. Don't be offended. If you want to raise a crook, give him everything he wants. And we love to, don't we? If we can, we love. I didn't have that when I was a kid, and we could actually afford that. Let's do that. I never got to go fill in the blank. Let's take them. And that's our blessings. And the last thing I'm suggesting is we don't do nice things for our children. But you heard the emphasis. Give them everything that they want. Never deny them. Never have them go wanting. And what is the message that we send? I deserve everything. And anybody who weigh of that, including the corner office, including every activity, every restaurant that I think is best, well, I'm just not going to go along with that program. Want to raise a crook? Never give him spiritual training. Wait till he's 21. Let him decide for himself. I've seen that sort of passive parenting. That is not what the Bible instructs. Train up a child. Don't wait and think they're going to just catch it. No. There is some of that, of course. You model, you demonstrate, you put Jesus on display through your activities, but you got to train, you got to teach. And if you're just waiting, well, let's just see how they turn out. I don't think you're being obedient to God's command to parents to train up their children. Avoid using the word wrong. Might make them feel guilty. Schoolwork might suffer. Might have a low self-esteem. Now, does that mean we should call our kids names? No. Does that mean we should be mean to that? No. But postmodernism is telling your kids, for every time you say to your kid, hey, that's wrong, postmodernism tells them 10 times, they're wrong. You're always right, because we're all always right. And a smart kid would go, well, that would mean my parents are right, too.
That's what I was about to say.
Setting that like nonsensical worldview aside, it's so easily deflated, postmodernism. They're hearing a different tune. You're right. You're right. You're amazing. You're terrific. You're fantastic. We would be going into whiplash mode, ricocheting from that wrong-headed worldview into a terrible ditch if we spoke down at our kids. Ah, you're wrong because you're dumb. No, not saying that. We're loving parents. But love says, you're wrong. Nope, honey, you think you know a lot, but I know more. And I've been put in this position that someday you'll be in, and you'll understand better then. But this is the role God has assigned to me, so you're going to have to submit to that. Want to raise a crook? Don't make him work at home. Do the work for him. Hire it so that he can learn to leave responsibility to others. One can't help but wonder if that is what was the statistic that we read, Jimmy? It was a couple months ago. There was a big study that was done on Gen Zs and how employers are just furious at them because they don't work very hard. I think we even made a video about it, not to slam all Gen Zs, but to say, you work hard, you're going to do really well. In fact, you just work a little, you're going to do well. The parent who removes all work, chores, assignments, and I would even add this, done with a good attitude, not doing a kid a favor, and could be contributing to this idea that I don't need to submit or do nothing. Want to raise a crook? Let him watch anything he wants. Let him learn from TV, social media, how the world functions. You'll be raising a crook. And I would also say a miserable person. When we're not under, like a dog or a child that doesn't submit to the owner or to the parent, oh, they're miserable. They're just, that's one of our ongoing jokes. When we're in a store, which happens all too often these days, and we hear a kid screaming in the background, one of us will go, let me just translate that for you. Somebody please take control! Mom! Dad! I can't run the place and I'm exhausted! And what's true of a child, going to be true for an adult. How to raise a crook, give him spending money so he won't be frustrated by having to pay his own way. I think that these, don't just go boomeranging. Well, I guess that would be returning. Don't go flying into the other ditch. All right, fine, we're never going to give him a penny. No, I'm not saying that. But be what? Let him do the things that God says that you're going to be doing. Submit, do things joyfully as unto the Lord. Work hard. You don't get to have every single thing that you crave. You sometimes have to deny yourself. Finally, you want to raise a crook? Don't make any rules for him. You don't want him to get angry at you after all. Mom and Dad, as Alistair Begg would say, you're reasonable people. You'll sort it out. Don't go to the other extreme, but maybe, just maybe, we should all be asking ourselves the question, have we participated in raising a generation, and now generations, that just aren't very happy? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.